This is the story. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, kingdom builder, healer. He is the King of glory. He is the resurrecting Savior. They expected a conqueror, but instead they got a servant, crucified and lifted high. And the marks on his hands left us marked for salvation.
You know, I am excited about starting a new series with you guys, and it's really, it's right out of the book of Mark. And, you know, I know today most of us wouldn't sit down and read an encyclopedia. Many of you under 30 probably don't even know what an encyclopedia is. As far as that's concerned, as I say that, I remember it very well because when I was a kid, it's crazy that one of my earliest memories are of my parents looking at buying this huge set of encyclopedias. I don't know, it was you know, one of the salesmen came to the house, and it was one of those things, and they sold the sell pitch, and there was four of us kids, and my parents just felt like this is something they needed to do for us. So they bought this huge set of World Book encyclopedias, and many of you remember that. Ours were old, they were green and tan, as far as that's concerned, and every year we would get these updates. It would be annuals, it would be this series of books, because my parents bought them on the monthly installments. That's how expensive these crazy things were. They bought and we got these books. It was like the zoo book. So that's the books that I read, 5, 6, 7, 18, 19 years old. I like to look at the pictures. I very rarely ever sat down and read the encyclopedias. I would use it for homework. I would use it for studies. But it's not exactly stuff that's filled with great stories. It's got a lot of information, but there's not a lot of great stories in an encyclopedia. If there are, you would get into those stories and just kind of go, ooh, I don't want to know those. But you know, a story is something that's a little different, isn't it? It's not something that's just information. A good story has a great beginning. Somewhere along the line, as you start to be a new book and you start to read through it, all of a sudden you can see the plot start to thicken. You can see the main characters are introduced. You can see the depth of what you are about to read. And with every page that you turn, something new unfolds, and all of a sudden you're drawn into the story itself. We are about to embark on this new journey, a new story. For many of us in that way, the book of Mark is different than all the other gospels. It's unique and special in so many different ways, and I'm excited about starting this story with you because it's just different. It's different because it was written to a different group of people. It wasn't written to the Jews. It wasn't written to the church crowd. It was written to the average person, to the Gentiles, to common folk like you and me. Doesn't have a lot of the religious stuff in it. It simply talks about what some of our songs talked about this morning. It talks about Jesus. And Mark doesn't use a lot of different colors as he jumps right in. He jumps right in and tells us who Jesus is straight up in black and white. And he tells us the story of the gospel. It's the shortest of all the inspired biographies of Jesus. It's the shortest. Probably was the first one ever written. And over the past millennia, it has been translated more than any other. Why? Maybe because it's short, but maybe because its message is written to us. The human author, his name was John Mark. I'll give you a little background. Not a lot known about John Mark. A few details about his journey, a few details about when he was young. He was probably a teenager about the time that Jesus died. He was probably around 70 when he wrote the book. He was strongly influenced by the apostle Peter, who called him son, which meant that he probably was the one who won him to faith. Many authors call the book of Mark the Gospel of according to Peter, because many say that it's just accumulation of all the different sermons that John Mark heard Peter preach about Jesus. He's first mentioned by name in the book of Acts. Scripture's up on the screen. where we learn the church met for prayer at his mother's house. Fascinating enough, I want you to think about that. I didn't mention it in first service, but I find that fascinating that the details of Mark's life, his life was probably influenced at a very early age in those rooms, in his house, as he heard them tell the stories of Jesus. The same way that you and I can make an impact on our kids and our grandkids as we tell the stories of Jesus about our dinner table and around our living room with family and with friends. It's in Acts chapter 13, verse 5, we noted that he went on his first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas as their helper. When Paul and Barnabas were in Cyprus and they left, John Mark went back to Jerusalem. Why? We don't know. There's a lot of speculation. Later, this caused a division between Paul and Barnabas, two great leaders in the faith. But fascinating enough, God used it in an amazing way to take the gospel in two different directions, and John Mark went with Barnabas, and Paul went off with Timothy. And the message was doubled in that process. Later we see, if you read through the New Testament, you see in Colossians that Paul and Mark had reconciled. And he actually calls for John Mark while he's in prison. And he helps him to write. It was probably there in Rome that Mark wrote this chapter. He wrote this letter after hearing Peter's preaching and listening to him, and his life changed. It's fascinating when you start to look at this. Mark's emphasis is this. His emphasis is on what Jesus did rather than what he said. See, we can say all kinds of words. We can speak as much as we possibly want to speak. And sometimes they're just fluttering news to some people out in our neighborhood. But what we do with our life, how we respond to the gospel, the things that we do in Jesus' name, make all the difference. So part of the reason I'm excited about talking about Mark and sharing through this gospel is the sense that we're going to see the things that Jesus did. We're going to unfold some of these stories that we know that are so true. Not necessarily based on what Jesus said, but on who Jesus was. Matthew Henry stated it this way, and I love this little statement. He says, Mark's gospel thrives with life and breathes with vivid details. That excites me. And as we read through this together, I want to encourage you to grab a bookmark. They're out on the Welcome Center. Grab a bookmark. You're going to have a reading every day of the week. 20 verses at most, and by the time we get done in this in the next 7 weeks, you have read through the Gospel of Mark, and we will study that together. You'll read, we'll study. You'll read, we'll study. And we'll walk and we'll grow through this together. Fascinating part is, Mark's a great gospel for me because Jesus is very busy in Mark. Busy going from place to place, talking here and there, teaching here and there, doing things here and there. He's constantly on the move. The word immediately in different translations is used 40 times in this book. Why? Because Jesus immediately did this. He would do this. He would immediately go to this. And for someone that's ADD like me, I like that a lot. Okay? Because he goes and he goes and he goes and he just keeps going. Before I bore you with a bunch of details, because I could go on and on and on, and this isn't a seminary class, this isn't a library. I'm not opening up the encyclopedia this morning and giving you a bunch of info. Let's get into the story. There is one key truth that you need to know about Mark more than any other, and that is beyond a shadow of a doubt, Mark understands that Jesus is the Messiah. From the very start of his letter, that Jesus is the Messiah, and he is out to tell the world that story. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Before I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his straight paths, or make his paths straight. There are three phrases I don't want to look at this morning. We'll get to a little bit more, but these three phrases are key as we're going to start this chapter, start this book. The first is the idea that he talks about the beginning of the gospel. We've talked about the idea that what the definition of gospel is, it's the good news. But to the Gentile, the word is a little different. It's not good news, it's joyful tidings. Mark is about to tell the joy of knowing Jesus. I can't think of a better word for gospel. He's going to tell them the joy of knowing Jesus. And that idea of good news, that idea of joy comes when we denounce our sin and we call for repentance. That's exactly what John is doing. From the very beginning of the Bible to the very end of the Bible, there is this idea of repentance. There's this idea of forgiveness. There's this idea of grace. As we just studied over the last 7 weeks in the story of Revelation, we looked at this idea that the churches were called to repent, to turn around and to make a different decision. The gospel is a message of salvation, a message of hope, a message of joy. Why? Because it's about the one who made a difference. It's about Jesus. Forgiveness of sins, the coming of Jesus and all that he accomplished. I want you to think about it. As the angel came and foretold about the baby that would be born in Luke chapter 2, what did he say? Here it is. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. I bring you the gospel of good tidings that will be for all people. Jesus is a story of good news. And Mark is telling us the beginning of the gospel. It doesn't refer to the beginning of his life. He doesn't start at the birth. He doesn't even tell us a backstory. He's going to tell us how the gospel came to life in human history in the person of Jesus Christ. And he'll explain why it's good news. And he'll explain why it's news that the world needs to hear. But understand that as Mark walks through this, it's not a message just for that day. And I think this is why I'm so excited to talk about it. Because it's a message that you and I need to hear today. If we're going to see the human side of Jesus, we're going to see the struggles that he faced. We're going to see those times of suffering, those times of hardship, those times of anxiety. And in the midst of those, there's good news. There's hope. There's a bright future. If you turned on the news at all this week, if you read the paper, it was pretty discouraging. When you walked out in public, people are wearing masks. They're worried about the coronavirus. We're worried about the stock market pretty much almost crashing. We're worried about uncertainty in our government. We're worried about fear in our society, in our country today. And guess what? In the midst of all that, don't we need a new beginning? Don't we need some good news? Don't we need something that's going to bring us joyful tidings and excitement? And the best news is the story of Mark is true. It's not a story that you find in the library over in the reference section or in the distant history section or back in the even nonfiction or even in fiction. If you would walk into the section that said true, big, bold, and as clear as it could possibly be, there it is. The Gospels are a biography of Jesus' life. They tell us the truth. And Mark opens up the truth and tells us exactly how it is. There's a mystery in the midst of it all. Well, that's what's fun about the gospel. The story that's been told throughout the ages. Yes, it was the first biography ever written. As people would talk about Jesus in the early church, they would reference Old Testament prophecies that would talk about someone that was yet to come. They would talk about the Messiah. Think about Peter as he was preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch there on the road. As he did, he was pulling out an Old Testament reference. Why? Because they didn't have anything about Jesus. And in verses 1 through 3, Mark quotes not only from Isaiah 43, but also from Malachi 3:1, and he introduces this messenger that would show us and honestly give a new start to a new ministry. John the Baptist would come to prepare the way for the Lord. That's exactly what he's talking about. And how did he see it? They saw it through God's eyes. How did Malachi and Isaiah see what was going to happen so many years ago? God told them what would happen. He prophesied through them what would happen, that his son would come. And that's why John the Baptist would say what he said, that behold, one is coming who is greater than I and whose sandals I am not even unworthy, I am unworthy to untie. Why? Because he knew that Jesus would come before him and he would see him face to face. In the Old Testament, God is building a road to mankind's hearts. He's engineering this whole story, this whole plan. And he's showing it through man. Why? So that you and I can find our way to the one truth, to the final end, to our final destiny, and that destiny is Jesus. Charles Salmon, a preacher, said this one time, that the good news was not conceived in the womb of a virgin with Jesus, but in the mind of God from before eternity began, and it was revealed through the prophets of those who had an ear to hear. It was conceived in God's mind. That's the good news. The second phrase that stands out in this very beginning is this idea of Jesus Christ. The word Jesus, the name of Jesus, in the Greek literally means Joshua, a very common name back then and day. But name given to him at birth, directed by the angel from Joseph. The Hebrew name, the equivalent would be Yahweh. Sound familiar? Which means God saves. Mark connects the name of Jesus with the human side of him over 80 times in his gospel. So as you read through and as you highlight, note that. Note how many times Mark talks about Jesus by name in how he writes. And his name connects him with that humanity. That Jesus came to show us the invisible God, what he is like, who he is, and what he expects from us. In John 1:18, we see this verse. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Jesus shows us God in the simplest, easiest terms. He shows us the truth in who he is, in all his glory, in his humanity, as he walks with man on here on earth. The name Christ really is more of a title. It means the anointed one. We've talked about that many times. It connects him with the eternal God. The fact that he is the Messiah, the one that was promised back in the Old Testament, the one that's been promised through the New, and now he has come. The idea of Jesus brings up this imagery of a Galilean peasant, an itinerant preacher, a suffering servant, as Isaiah called him, of a man with flesh and blood, and Christ brings to us the very presence of God, an anointed one, who was anointed by the Holy Spirit, filled with grace and truth, God's Son who is set apart for a specific task. And as Mark talks to us, he tells us how God walked the earth in human flesh. Did you catch that? How God walked the earth in human flesh so that he could understand the trials and the tribulations of man, so that he could share in them, so he could sympathize with our fears, so he could understand death as his best friend passed away and as he died himself. And Mark will show us through his humanity and Jesus' humanity how you and I can live for eternity in the presence of the Almighty. And he will do it all by showing us what Jesus did, not just what he said. And the third phrase is one that's left out of many translations but was later found to be the truth, and that is the sense that he says that he is the Son of God. Mark leaves no room for doubt. From the very first verse of his gospel, who Jesus is. From the very first verse, He wants us to understand who he is. He isn't interested in convincing us about him, just stating it and then relating to those that are around him. In other words, he's saying, you can be a witness for Jesus as he was a witness for Jesus. So often we think that we have to argue our point. You find someone and just like, hey, I'm going to argue this. I'm going to get my point across. You don't have to argue it. All you need to do is lay out the gospel and show them what Jesus did. And when they see how he lived his life, the miracles that he performed, the things that he did, how can they not believe that he is the Son of God? Just tell his story and let them draw the conclusion. After all, we know that his story is the only one that truly can change the course of mankind and the course of history. He heard it through Simon Peter. He heard it as Simon Peter made that confession of faith. I imagine Simon sitting down with John Mark and telling him the story and how they sat there maybe around the campfire and they talked about this. And Jesus asked them, well, who do you say that I am? And there was almost a hush amongst the crowd of the other apostles. And all of a sudden, Peter, as only Peter can do, blurts it out and says, well, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I imagine John Mark heard that story multiple times. So much that it became part of his lifestyle and almost his DNA. And it was beyond a shadow of a doubt that Mark knew who Jesus was. And he connects his writings with the prophet of Malachi and Isaiah over and over. He knows that Jesus will show him the power, the majesty of God. He will show him Jesus in the human flesh, but never forget the deity and the holiness of the Almighty God. Why? Because in that deity is our hope. In that deity is our salvation. Man cannot save us, but God can. And when a human man, when God becomes human flesh, walks among earth with us and all of a sudden is taken from us to die for us, that saves. Mark tells us that there's a new beginning. But Mark not only tells us a new beginning, he proves it in a new start. I'm not going to have time to read all this, and I'm going to let you just read on your own this week because it's part of your reading. But John appeared and he baptized in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. And then if you jump down to verse 7, he's preached and he said, after me comes one who is mightier than I, the straps of whose sandals I am unworthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. There's a great beginning mentioned here in this book. A story that must not be forgotten. The idea of preaching repentance, like I said, happened from the very beginning of the Old Testament to the very end of the New. What this message was about was people turning back to God from all the things they had tried to find other places. An idea of renewal, an idea of forgiveness, an idea of repentance, an idea of life. 400 years of silence were broken, yes, by the sound of a crying baby in a manger so long ago, but it was broken right there in the Jordan River that day by God himself. I would have loved to have been there. I said that first service. I would have loved to have been there to hear, was it a vocal? Could everyone standing on the riverbanks hear that? Was it some thunderous voice and God speaking? If that was, what would you do? I'd fall to my face in adoration. And I would sit there and go, who is this guy in the water? I don't know who that is, but I need to find out. But Jesus' baptism changed everything. There are great beginnings in Matthew and Mark with the birth, but yet humanity shows everything changed at that moment. John cries out humility in the words and the appearance of Jesus, and then Jesus comes. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus there in the water. And it was from that moment that Jesus' ministry began. Yes, he may have taught when he was 12 in the temple, if you remember that story, but his ministry began. It was then that he started to heal. It was then that immediately he went out into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. It was then that Jesus started to preach about repentance and forgiveness. It was then that Jesus started to proclaim new life and new hope. And friends, you can have that same start today. We offer the same type of baptism for you to start in a newness of life, to realize that you and I are all sinners, that we're faults and our failures, that we've fallen short of the glory of God. We find that out in Romans chapter 3. That we can have forgiveness and eternal life are available to those who just trust in Jesus. That when we accept the Lord, when we repent of our ways, that we can be baptized into a newness of life, a new life and a new start. That salvation comes through the grace of God. And you and I can start off a new life. Maybe you need to make that decision today. In just a minute, we're going to be singing a song, and I would ask you to make that decision. But let me tell you, more than anything else, why I'm excited about talking about Mark, and then I'll be done. Mark is known as a gospel of action. I like Mark because he tells us how we're to live. He tells us the thing we're to do. We're not supposed to sit on our laurels. We're not supposed to sit in our homes and be quiet. We're to be out there sharing and talking about the gospel message. We're out there retelling people about Jesus. Get out there, do something. Share your faith, talk about Jesus. It's the good news. It's glad tidings of good news, of great joy, which are for all people, not just people sitting in the pews, but for everyone. It's a message of hope. In John 12, we see these words. And as we walk through this gospel over the next 7 weeks, I hope that you can understand why this is on the screen. At the feast of the Passover for foreigners came to Philip with a simple request. We wish to see Jesus. As you read through the gospel over the next 7 weeks, I wish and I hope that you see Jesus. Clearer and purer than you've ever seen him before. I can't change your life. There's nothing that I can say that can change your life. But Jesus can. His love, his mercy, his grace, his power can change your life. Be it today, be it tomorrow, be it next week, Jesus is a life changer. And we are called to change lives through Jesus' love. He changes everything. Father, thank you. Thank you for your good news, for the story of Jesus. May we never just take it for granted. May we just not think of it as another book in a compilation of books called the Bible, but may we understand that it is the very word of God, inspired, breathed into life, and that it speaks to us and changes our lives. Maybe someone here today needs to say, hey, I'm not really sure. I've heard that Jesus walked on earth. I heard that he's the anointed one. I understand that he's the Son of God. I need to know more about that. I pray that you would ask, that you would come, you would talk to us. I pray for change. I pray for hope. I pray that we may become part of your story. In your name we pray.